My name is Maureen Qassis. I am now the spokesperson of the ICRC in Baghdad, Iraq.
And you were based in Jordan?
That's right. I'm originally based in Jordan. I was there during the war, and now I'm here on a short mission.
What is your job function?
I'm the head of communication in Amman and a spokesperson of the ICRC.
Good. Can you explain to me what has been ICRC doing for the last 2 months? Before the war, during the war, and the last 2 months after the war, and right now?
Naturally, during the war, the main priority of the International Committee of the Red Cross was life-saving. And by that I mean the focus was on the medical assistance for hospitals, support for the medical and health facilities in Baghdad and in Iraq, in order to help them to cope with their job in life-saving of the people affected by the war at that time. I would say that the Iraqi civilian population were already weak, vulnerable, and very much fragile after going through two international conflicts, two wars, and after suffering for 12 years as a result of the UN sanctions. The last war just made their suffering even worse. Before the war, the health and the social system were deteriorating rapidly. The health and social system at one point in time were one of the best in the region. But as a result of the impact of two successive conflicts and the UN sanctions, this system became very fragile and deteriorating, unable to meet the needs of the civilian population. So when the war started, the result was very clear. There were a lot of pressure on the health system. The social services were totally suspended during the war, and the medical services were far outstretched. The other essential activities like the electricity, water, telephone networks, all these are still not functioning, the least to say, not functioning properly. And a big sector of the Iraqi population are not getting these services properly.
So what exactly have you done?
During the war, as I said, our number one priority was life-saving. And by that, we focused on empowering the hospitals, the medical installations in Baghdad, which were under a lot of pressure, to do their job. We were supporting the medical teams, providing them with the essential surgical tools, with the essential drugs, and water. Water was a main operation during the war. With the most of the water installations hit or damaged as a result of the war, the hospitals were left alone. Patients were unable to get their needs of clean, potable water, not to mention also the similar situation of the rest of the civilian population. So water was one of our main activities, where first of all we were providing hospitals with their needs of immediate needs of water, and then we moved to starting to fix even on emergency basis the damage caused for the main water treatment units, providing them with the necessary chemicals, with the necessary equipment, generators, because the power plants were also hit, and the national grid suffered badly during the war, leaving the water treatment, the sanitation units under a lot of pressure, operated mainly by generators.
Can you give me how much and how many equipment you have been bringing to Iraq?
The International Committee of the Red Cross realized that a conflict could be coming soon. And at a time when we all hoped that another war could be averted, we had to prepare. And our contingency planning or preparation included lots of activities, including the storing of equipment, material, tools, and increasing our human resources, whether here in Iraq or in the neighboring countries, whether in Jordan, in Syria, or Iran.
No. Who paid for the equipments?
The International Committee of the Red Cross.
Then who paid for the intervention of Committee of Red Cross?
We made an emergency appeal. You know, one of the main sources of our financing are donors. And donors, I mean governments. And this is a duty by governments, an obligation when they sign the Geneva Convention. As members of the Geneva Conventions, they make contributions to support the International Committee of the Red Cross money. So we made an appeal explaining our needs for the emergency contingency planning for Iraq, and we managed to get the money needed.
Which government?
All governments of the world.
Which is the biggest government donor?
If you're hinting that whether the United States government is among the donor countries, yes, it is. The United Kingdom is, Japan is, all these countries are among the donor countries. Yes, they did support the contingency planning.
Okay, then let's talk about the POWs. You have been talking about the POWs in the airport. You went to visit the POWs in the airport. What is the conditions?
The prisoners of war are held in a detention camp in Umm Qasr in the south. These are the fighters, mainly military people or other armed persons from different volunteers who were captured during the conduct of hostilities. These ones, we started to visit them since the middle of April, and we continue to visit them. Those who are still held there, we register them, we visit them, and we take messages to their families just to ensure them about their well-being and safety. If you're talking about other prisoners held elsewhere, yes, we are visiting them, including the former officials in Iraq who were held by the coalition forces, and including those held in the airport area, or in Baghdad area, I would say.
Who you have been visited so far, the most famous person?
Well, we have been visiting all those who have been arrested.
You mean Aziz too?
Everyone who is arrested and held up by the coalition forces is visited. So far, we have been having access to all prisoners.
So, I mean, everybody. So, I mean, all the Ba'ath Party and government officials, generals. Who will be the most important person you visit so far?
Including the former officials, Ba'ath Party officials, and other Iraqi officials who are held by the coalition forces have been visited, yes.
What kind of living condition they have right now?
Well, the main purpose of the International Committee of the Red Cross is to monitor the conditions of detention, to make sure that at least the minimum level of decent humanitarian conditions are available, that the prisoners get decent food, decent medical care, and any remark that we see, anything that we feel we are not satisfied with, we usually bring it directly to the attention of the detaining authority, in this case the coalition forces. And let me tell you that this is something that we do not only here in Iraq but elsewhere in the world.
Can I go to visit them?
I would love to take you with me, but usually these kinds of visits need lots of preparations and lots of procedures, and because the purpose of the visit is not to make a show, the purpose is to ensure that we have a regular access to the detainees, that we check on the decent detention conditions. It is not possible to take you with me.
So what you're saying so far is you need to work under the mercy of the U.S. military.
No, I wouldn't agree like that. No, mercy. There is a legal obligation. This is a war situation, and the occupying power has legal obligations, and we are trying to do our duty. It's not a matter of pity or mercy. It's a matter of obligation. They are trying to do their duty. In this case, they are an occupying power. Our duty, according to the Geneva Conventions, is to ensure that the civilian populations are protected, and that's what we are trying to ensure.
The UN agency and most of the NGO left right before the war.
Yes, many of the humanitarian organizations left before the war. We stayed behind. Yes, we had to reduce our activities because of security considerations, but we stayed behind and we tried to continue the minimum level of humanitarian activity. And now, during the war, and if just for comparison, during the war, we had only six international staff here, and now we have 120 international staff supported by 700 national staff, and we're still getting more because of the various activities we are having in size and in the number of human resources. As you know, we've been in Iraq since 1980, since the days of the Iraq-Iran war.
You say you're cutting the deal to visit the POW or some of the humanitarian aid operation.
Yeah. Let me explain this again. When I say the deal, I mean a deal of not publicizing things, because this is not in our in the interest of the prisoners and the victims. But let me stress again that it is the duty and the obligation of the occupying power, whether here in Iraq or anywhere else in the world, to give the ICRC a clear access to the prisoners of war and to visit detainees. This is a treaty obligation by the Geneva Conventions. The deal is that this issue of talking in public or not, because this is what I tried to explain when I said deal.